Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. And as is the general rule of thumb, we set aside Fridays to speak about specific biblical questions, doctrines, and issues, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically speaking, to be the edification of those that are listening, that are concerned about some of these issues, but perhaps didn't know who to go to or where to ask the question. Today we're going to be talking about the question, fasting. What does the Bible tell us about fasting? Should we fast? Is it commanded? Is it commended? Is it in any way directed as to an absolute? Is it one of what you would call one of the doctrines of the Bible? What does the Bible say about fasting? How many times do we find fasting in the Bible? What are the occasions? What are the rations, reasons behind it? That's what we're going to talk about today. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. During the course of this broadcast, be delighted to have you join in the dialogue and discussion simply by calling that telephone number. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue and discussion. And by the way, if you want to drop in with a question or two dealing with other issues, we'll not digress a lengthy period of time, but we'll take your question. That's what this broadcast is all about, allowing you to have questions answered and resolved as we face the issues of life. And believe me, we're faced with many more issues today in life and living than perhaps you ever dreamed possible in the years gone by. In fact, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're facing more consternation, more concern, more criticism from every angle, more questions today than perhaps in the history of the Christian church. Now, that's just my perspective, and I'm still less than 100 years old, so I believe that I can speak with authority based on that, but I believe that it's time that we get answers and know exactly what the Bible is saying and how we need to respond to it. I'm delighted today to have with me a pastor friend, brother in Christ, prayer warrior, and I'm thankful that Brother Glenn Davis, Pastor Davis, can be with us today. Pastor Davis, welcome.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. I want to say good morning to my bride of 35 years, always, amen, right there by my side. Thank God for her. Amen. My grandson, grandchildren, everyone that are listening, all of my family, my big sister, everyone. I just got an audience now, and I thank God, amen, for them because they listen on a regular basis.
Amen.
Some of them are still trying, you know, to find the answers to the things that we see in our Christian lives from day to day.
Absolutely.
And I thank God that we are able to provide you, you know, with these answers on this broadcast. It's not our intention to belittle anyone because there's no big eyes or little U's.
Amen.
In Christ. Amen. But everybody is somebody in Christ Jesus, and amen. God loves us all.
It's just
amen.
Simply
so I
called,
thank God.
Just simply called truth that we talk about. And
amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the focus of this broadcast is truth. In fact, we're on what is called the Truth Broadcast Network. It is truth that we should seek and follow. It is truth that Jesus spoke about in John 8:31 and 32 when he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And further, he points definitively with a very dogmatic statement in John 17:17, where he speaks of the word of God, says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. I call it the truth book. That ought to be our modus operandi. That ought to be the guidebook that we live by. That ought to be the light unto our feet and the lamp unto our pathway that we use each and every day. But truth is something that is despised, disdained, and dissed, as I believe the word is in society today. It's George Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to speak the truth, but realizing that we're not going to be loved, embraced, and in any way praised for standing on the truth. And, Pastor, it's a shame that we've gotten to that declension in society where a person that tells the truth is not admired, looked at, and respected anymore.
Amen.
But that's where we are today.
Amen.
The truth tellers are the ones that are rejected and refused in society today. You recall, and I just have to touch on this, perhaps you recall back in the days just past when President Donald J. Trump was the president, and they brought up Russiagate, talked about Russia, and all that he was supposed to have done in Russia with the Russia connection. Well, I don't know if you're paying attention. It's very low profile on the Communist Network News, but ladies and gentlemen, it is coming out with the John Durham report, and I don't know what's taking him so long. He's now issued a warrant for the arrest of one that was supposed to be the deep secret person that gave all of the information about the Russia connection to those that were formulating a plan to undermine, tear down, and destroy President Trump. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is coming out.
Amen.
The truth is
Amen.
Coming out. And that's what we're talking about each and every day. We talk about truth on this broadcast.
Amen.
Former Senator Jim DeMint, and Pastor, you've heard me recite this many times on this broadcast, but the former Senator Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim DeMint made this statement in part. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There is no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is to be real and true. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in the Christian churches. Pastor, it saddens me when we talk about theological issues like this, when we talk about biblical concepts and precepts as we are today, when we're talking about the concept of biblical fasting. When we talk about that, there'll be multitudes of people that will just diss it, as they're called, out of hand, reject it.
Amen.
There is some deep elements in this study today that I believe that we need to latch on to, and it's truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, John Huss, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what I challenge you, our listening audience, to do each and every day. Love the truth, live the truth, stand for the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe there's coming a day when our lives will be on the line in America.
Amen. Amen.
If we tell the truth.
It's coming.
We're watching it
it's
on
really
a
coming.
Rapid fire basis, if I
Amen.
May use that analogy. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner as brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. But ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time, with that same staff, can answer all of your questions about professional landscape lawn care equipment as well as for the homeowner. And so I encourage you to see Tools for Time. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole there, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing. The intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, find the American flag. The base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I find that multitudes of Christians and those that are naming the name of Christ are unsure of what biblical doctrines are. Many of them, Pastor, not only unsure of biblical doctrines and biblical tenets and principles, but most are always basing what they say and do on some denominational dogma.
Amen.
What
Amen.
A denomination says. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say this very carefully, pointedly, personally, I don't care what a denomination says. You understand? I'm concerned about what the Bible says.
Amen. Amen.
I've seen preachers stand in the pulpit They'll quote St. Augustine. They'll quote this writer and that writer and the other writer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And my hue and cry is always, why not just quote the Bible?
Amen.
What does the Bible say? Not a matter what man may say, I think, or do, but what does the Bible say? But, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've heard what the Scripture says in relationship to the day that a Christian is supposed to worship. There are a lot of people that are in consternation whether it's on Sunday or Saturday. And I've just jettisoned all of that, and they say, doesn't make any difference. We need to worship the Lord every day of the week.
My, my.
And yet there are a lot of folks that go to seed on whether it's Saturday or Sunday that
Amen.
We ought to worship. There are a lot of folks that are concerned about and will absolutely go into consternation, concern, and diatribe and discussion and difficulties with whether you should tithe or not. Those are some of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible is very, very clear on. Or perhaps you've never considered what the Bible teaches about fasting. What does the Bible teach? Now, when we talk about giving of tithes and offerings, when we talk about what day of worship, when we talk about denominational dogmas, but ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a word called fasting, biblical fasting. Now, Pastor, I don't know if it's 50 times or if it's 70 times.
Amen.
That it's in the Bible.
Amen.
I have research behind several, and the lowest number that is claimed to be there, and I'm not going through to try to count them. I'll tell our audience that today. I've not tried to count them, but one that I have confidence in said it's about 70 times that fasting is mentioned in the Bible. Another one said it's over 50 times. How many times over, I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, fasting is a biblical concept, a biblical precept, a biblical principle. It is something that I would not call a biblical doctrine. You could call it the doctrine of tithing, just what we call it the doctrine of prayer, but I would prefer to call it a biblical principle, a biblical precept, because I say that, and very early on, let me say to you, fasting is not commanded in the Scripture. We're not
Amen.
Commanded to fast, but ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very clear in the Scripture that there are some in the Scripture, both Old and New Testament, it speaks of one-night fast. Or 3-day fast, or 7-day fast, or 14-day fast, or 21-day fast, even a 40-day fast. You know, Jesus had fasted for some 40 days in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, before he was confronted with Satan. He had been fasting, and yet Jesus is God. Jesus didn't have to fast, but he was doing it from the human perspective. But ladies and gentlemen, whether it be 3 days, 7 days, 21 days, 14 days, even a 40-day fast, as I just mentioned. But there's also some that's unspecified length of time for a fast. Many pastors today, as well as many believers, will announce from the pulpit or from the congregation or from the Sunday school classroom, I've been fasting for 10 days. I've been fasting for 40 days. I've been fasting for whatever the number of days. But ladies and gentlemen, if it is made public, it is for that which I call sensationalizing, and it ought to be secret.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
Not anything in the Scripture says we should tell somebody.
Amen.
Speak to that for a moment, Pastor.
Amen. Dr. Youngblood, it should not be a spectacle.
That's right.
After all, I mean, it's not designed to bring attention to any individual's spirituality.
That's right.
I mean, we need to know and understand as Christians on today, as followers, believers in Christ Jesus and in His Word. Amen. We need to know and understand that fasting is a spiritual discipline
yes.
for the believer. As you said earlier, it doesn't matter how often you do it, but I would recommend, simply because through experience, amen, when I first got saved in 1985, right on up until this point in time today, amen, we always made it a regular part of what we did from week to week.
Yes.
Every Friday mm-hmm. was a fast. We fasted all day until a prayer meeting that night. And then afterward, we took in whatever we wanted to eat. Seemed like things went so much more better when we did that. I mean, that's just from the spiritual, just the individual standpoint from the way I saw it.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying it made me a super person.
That's right.
And but it did something for me.
What you're saying is that it is for the individual's choice,
Amen.
The individual's decision. What day? What time of the day? It can be for a brief time or for a length of period of time. In fact, one of the writers that I researched behind said that it is wise, if it's going to be on a lengthy fast, for a person to see their physician to make sure that it would not, for example, if somebody is diabetic, certainly you would not want to go on a 40-day fast, or it may be not even a 10-day fast,
Amen.
Depending on the individual's health. So it is not something where we're trying to give you medical advice, but it is something we want to talk about from a biblical concept, a biblical precept, a biblical principle, and that is of fasting. Fasting can be, a lot of people think about fasting just with food. I find it refreshing that a person can fast from watching television.
Amen.
A fast from watching that handheld device called a cell telephone.
And I think that's really needed.
That's
amen.
Right.
Because
I think in America today we need to have some 100-day fast from those things. It's gotten to the point where, in fact, some of the cell telephones, and I find it intriguing now that I touched on that, some of the cell telephones will track what you're doing with your how would you say, internet research,
amen.
And then we'll tell you that yesterday or last week, you averaged an hour a day, you averaged 2 hours a day or 10 hours a day. It's tracking what you're doing and then telling you what you're doing. I think that unknown to the Facebook guys and the ones that have created the internet,
amen.
I believe that it should be something that would say, well, they must be thinking about that we're using it too much. I don't know.
Well, as you said before, I think this is the form of keeping a track of what every individual is doing.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, this technology is in China right now. Facial recognition, you know, technology all on the street corners, the cameras, you know, that's up
nothing
there.
Nothing is done in secret.
At the traffic lights. I mean, we have them here. Amen. The cameras at the traffic lights and all, they are watching what you are doing.
That's right.
So same thing with your cell phone. A lot of times I notice right now I can go in a store and come out. And when I look at my cell phone, it will say, how did you like Winn-Dixie?
Yeah.
Can you give us a rating on how the store was?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Or it will tell you how far you are from home.
And sometimes I just turn it off because I don't want you to know where I am.
That's right.
I mean, it's not your business
That's right.
I'm going and what I'm doing.
That's right.
Now, this shouldn't be the way it is right now in America. But I thank God, amen, on today, that we serve a God who wants us to live in freedom.
Yes.
And this is the reason why I want to say this, and I want you to move on into the discussion. Every committed, that's the key word.
Committed.
Every committed believer to Christ on today ought to make fasting a regular part of their life.
It takes time. It sets apart, sets aside. For example, whether it's fasting from television, fasting from food, fasting from social media, fasting from music. A lot
Amen.
Of folks need to fast from some of that rock and roll, hip-hop music they're listening to.
Amen.
So they can focus on godly music and focus on studying the Word of God.
Amen.
Fasting
Amen.
From traveling. Fasting from going. There are a lot of people that will, a lot of Christians that will fast, they've been traveling a lot, going out, or maybe going out on Friday or Monday, whatever it may be, to have dinner out, and they decide, I'm going to fast. I'm not going to do that for the next month.
Amen.
So that I can spend that time, invest that time on focusing on the Lord. Or you can fast on food, where you just simply say, I'm not going to eat for the next 2 days, 3 days,
Don't tell the preacher that. Now.
No.
Preacher won't eat fried chicken.
That's right.
Don't.
Going to have the fried chicken.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Pastor, I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over with the question or comment, please.
Amen.
Jim, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead with the question or comment.
Good morning. Good morning.
Pastor Davis, I heard you said you turned your cell phone off. I got a question there. Can you remove the battery from your cell phone, sir?
Well, that's something I haven't done. Let me put it that way. I was told that it would work a lot better if you take the battery out of it. So, yes, I'm thankful that you interjected that. And since I haven't done it, I think I'm going to try it.
Good luck on getting that battery out, because a lot of these units are sealed today, and there's a reason they're sealed. They're telling you it's because the battery is dangerous and that they don't want you removing it. But what it does is it constantly keeps that GPS plug-in power.
Wow.
Thank you so much
for that.
You're exactly right. In fact, I would say the last three or four iterations of the iPhone, you cannot remove a battery because it's part of the sealed unit, so that you cannot turn the tracking device off. You can turn your phone off
cannot.
And still tracking.
Yep.
You're exactly right, Jim.
If I don't want anybody to know where I'm at, I just put that phone in my house on the counter, and I'll walk out. Because I grew up without a phone or cell phone, so I don't need the thing.
That's
Amen.
Exactly right.
But,
I think we've become, I think, frankly,
you
all of us
you
have become too dependent.
If you want to drive Big Brother crazy, put your phone in your house and go out and do your weekend without it one weekend. They won't know where you're at.
Or if you want to drive Big Brother crazy with every telephone conversation, say, NSA, I know you're listening, but this is not going to be something you want
Jesus
to hear.
Jesus loves you.
Yeah, that's right. Jesus loves you.
Or maybe I'll just walk down to the railroad track and throw it on the back of the train when it passes by and just let it go all over the country.
That's right. Round the nation.
That's actually a good idea. That's a good idea there. They may be wondering what you're doing then.
Gentlemen, Jim, may God richly bless you. I know based on your testimony and relationship with the Lord, if I can jump out of that circle for a minute and ask you a question. We're talking about fasting today. Do you believe it's biblical to fast? Are you one that fasts? Do you recommend that to the listening audience?
I recommend it to all of America because I think we've got a problem with holding that fork to our mouths a little too much there, and I'm just guilty, so...
Amen.
I believe that we probably should more often than not, but the biblical part where you're concentrating on Jesus Christ and God and you're focused on that and you're washing your face to not let others know that you're fasting there and you keep your continence up, you know, like Daniel did, you know, test us after we've not ate the king's table, and then Jesus said it, you know, or I can't remember what chapter it was in, but he said, wash your face and be of good cheer and don't let people know because,
amen.
You know,
Matthew,
the Lord knows what you're doing in 6 years.
Following.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. See, you good about that. I know it's in there. I just have to look it up.
Well, I am thankful because most of my memory is memorizing whether it's on the right page, left page, top of the column, left column, or right column, then I can find it. But,
well, you better hope they don't change the format, Dr. Youngblood.
If I lose my personal Bible, I wouldn't be able to preach.
Yes, sir.
I've got to memorize. Jim, thank you, brother, for your call.
Thank you, sir.
Of encouragement. Keep on looking up today.
Amen. Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, another thing that we got to remember is that God said in his word that man shall not live by bread alone.
That's right.
But by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
So that right there alone lets me know that the word is more important than our daily food.
You got it.
It's not just the food that we're living off of. Amen. But the word of God is actually what we live by. Amen. As believers in Christ.
Absolutely. That is the best food we can partake of is
amen.
The food of the word of God. In fact, one of the things that is so sad in the Book of Amos, it talked about there's coming a day of a famine in the land. It wasn't talking about the famine of food, but the famine of the word. And I believe we're headed in that way very directly. But ladies and gentlemen, we talk about fasting. I want us to examine what the Bible says about fasting. We've had some kind of, how would you say, dialogue and discussion about it openly. But what we think or say is not sufficient, I believe, for the subject of fasting and for the principles, precepts, and the tenets of that as we find it. Very loosely, what we'll talk about today, ladies and gentlemen, is what is fasting, who is to fast, why should you fast, and how should we fast, and what's the purpose of fasting. We are directed in the Scripture to have fasting, but it's not commanded. It is something that we can do if we choose to do or if we choose not to. So as we look at that, Pastor, I have outlined it in this fashion. We may or may not get a chance to cover the points that I believe that are pertinent in the subject of fasting. What is biblical fasting? Who is to do biblical fasting? How should you fast? And why should you fast? I think that's the what, when, why, where, and how that covers that subject. But first of all, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is biblical fasting. We've loosely talked about it in our dialogue and introductory remarks. But two things that I want to think about in the next few minutes. What is biblical fasting? First of all, it is a relinquishment.
Amen.
A willingness to release something that we can be free to focus on something else that's more important in our lives. Fasting is not commanded any place in the Scripture. God does not command fasting. Jesus did not command fasting. He did not condemn fasting, but he commended fasting.
Amen.
In the Scripture.
Amen.
In fact, in the Scripture, it wasn't a matter of if you fast, but he says when you fast.
Amen.
In
Amen.
Matthew 6, the 16th Amen. Verse and following. It's when you fast. Pastor, if you would, take a moment, and in Matthew 6, verses 16, 17, and 18, read those. I think it sets the stage for what we want to talk about biblical fasting. What is biblical fasting?
Amen.
It is a relinquishment, a willingness to relinquish and give up something that we might be free to focus on someone else or something else. Read those few verses there.
Amen. He started in verse number 16 of Matthew 6. He said, moreover, because he's already spoken about everything else.
Yes.
Now he's going into another area of what he wants to teach.
That's right.
He says, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, those that are playing a part.
Play actors.
Amen. Amen. Of a sad countenance. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that many a times. I've seen people, when I come to them and they tell me, oh, I've been fasting for so many days and I'm so weak, I'm so tired, I'm so hungry. You might as well go eat your plate full of beans.
That's right. Because
you're
that fasting is null and void.
Not doing any good. So he's saying here, don't be of a sad countenance. Amen. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, now he's talking to the ones who will dedicate, those who are consecrated, those who are committed to him.
Yes.
When thou fastest, he said, anoint thine head and wash thy face.
Right.
I know that's true. I know that works because I've done this many times myself. If you anoint your head and wash your face, there's a revival of something on the inside, even happens.
What he's saying there, and this is the Young Blood vernacular, put some cologne on, wash your face, freshen up. Do not look like you have been fasting.
Amen.
Because you're then trying to say to the world, look at me, I am spiritual. Look how pious I am.
Amen.
And that's not
Amen.
What fasting is about.
Amen.
It should be, as we'll talk about in a moment, it should be done in secret, not something that is sensationalized.
Amen.
But in secret.
Amen.
It is the relinquishment.
Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret.
Mm-hmm.
And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly.
Right.
Amen.
In other words, if you put it in the reverse order, if you're doing it for sensationalism and for others to see, there'll be no reward or recognition for it being done.
Amen. Amen.
It is vacuous, it's void, it is futile, and has no value if that's what it's for.
Amen.
And yet, may I say, ladies and gentlemen, I have seen a number of people, as Pastor Davis just alluded to, I've seen a number of people that immediately want you to know they're fasting. And I know that it's not meant in that fashion, but that's inevitably what takes place. Just as there are a lot of pastors that will announce to the congregation, let's put on a 40-day fast. If you've got to announce it, if you've got to push it, if you've got to encourage it, if you've got to put it on the calendar, and you've got to set the time frame for everybody to do, then as a result of that, the fast is vacuous and void and has no value.
Amen.
It ought to be on the basis that it is a volunteer thing to be done. We'll talk about that further. But what is biblical fasting? First of all, it's a relinquishment. Secondly, it's a reflection. Fasting allows you to reflect on the Lord. It allows you to reflect on His goodness and His mercy and His grace and His greatness and His provision. And we can focus on something that is good and beneficial and concerning in our lives. If we fasting, we can focus on that. I have a quote here from one writer. Fasting is the temporary renunciation of something that itself is good, like food, in order to intensify our expression and need for something that is greater, God and His work in our lives and in the lives of others. That's exactly what fasting is about.
Amen.
That's the purpose. That's the fasting as it is found in the Scripture. It's a relinquishment and it's a reflection. Relinquishing something for something that is better. Relinquishing something that takes our time, that is going to reflect on God and His greatness and goodness, reflecting on prayer for others, and we'll talk about that further, intercession
Amen.
For others, praying for others, fasting when there's a time of need, fasting when there's a time of decision, fasting when there's a time of crisis, fasting when there's grief, and we're spending that time especially with the Lord. And right after our break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Right after that, we're going to look at who is to do biblical fasting. Who's going to be the one that fasts Who are the ones that are responsible for that? Fasting is for the Christian, it's for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.